Of course, we do catch up with the vet every couple of Fridays, and Dr. Ryan Lane is from Orange Vet Hospital and joins us. Dr. Lane, thanks for being with us again.
Good morning, Alex. Good to be here.
We're talking about hearts. Thinking about the heart today.
I thought it'd be a good topic because it's one of those weeks where I've seen a few heart cases.
Oh, have you?
Yeah, lots of people kind of have a lot of misconceptions about hearts. And
okay.
Probably don't appreciate how important the heart is.
No, definitely not. And we're not talking about it in an emotional sense, although that is important. But, I mean, do you usually see, I don't know, is it dogs, I imagine, you see a fair bit of heart?
Predominantly, yeah. I mean, you just see it in cats as well. Mm. And it is one of those diseases that can be there from day one of birth, or it can develop later in life.
Okay.
And I think it's one of those things that, you know, seeing animals regularly in the clinic, you know, one of the first things that, you know, most people would see is you put a stethoscope on and listen to a heart. And it's one of those things that you can't really hear from the outside, but once you've got a stethoscope on and you're listening, there's lots of information that you can gather from that, whether it's the rate, the rhythm, all of the sounds. And it's not something that, you know, the common public would listen to. They just think of the lub-dub, but, you know, you've got to spend a bit of time trying to understand what those sounds mean as well.
How different are the sounds of a heart in a dog and a cat versus a human? Because I imagine they're different.
Well, not really. No.
Okay.
All of they're very, very, very similar in what they do. It's more the rate is the different thing.
Okay.
I mean, I guess a general rule of thumb is the smaller the species, the higher the heart rate.
Mm.
You know, a rabbit has a resting heart rate of, you know, over 200, you know.
But sitting
here, I mean, my watch is telling me my heart rate's, you know, about 90. And
that's because I make you nervous.
Exactly. Though, yeah. It's usually sitting around 70. But, yeah, that's probably the big thing. But the rate does tell you a lot. If you can think about it, the heart is I like to think about it as the pipes in someone's house. All right, so you've got a pump. Well, my house does because I live out of town, and you've got a pump, and that's the heart, I guess. And all of those pipes that are connecting everything need blood in them. And if you don't have blood in them, and the pressure's not right, or the pressure's too high or too low, that's when problems can occur. So then we can talk about, you know, humans that have high or low blood pressure.
So can a dog or a cat have high or low blood pressure?
Yeah, correct. Yeah,
right,
high blood pressure is probably the more common one we would see, and no different in the human world. When your diet's not right, or you eat too many high fat foods, things like that, or if you're highly anxious, there's lots of different reasons for it. In situations where it's low, though, it's usually a little bit more of a catastrophe, I guess. Is that why is there no, you know, blood in the pipes per se? And again, there can be reasons behind that. It can be toxic insult. It could be because an animal's bleeding is probably the other common one we see, or animals that are in shock. So being hit by a car or having an infectious process going on, there's such a broad range of things that can affect the cardiovascular system in many different ways.
When I go to get my checkups, when I get my blood pressure taken, I get that fang-dangle thing strapped over me, and it goes inflatable and makes my arm feel funny and all that. Is that how you test the blood pressure?
Yeah, exactly. It's the same in an animal.
Really?
Yeah, we have a few different bits of gear that we can use to test it, but it's the same principle. Yeah, you're trying to measure the pressure of those pipes when they're at their most pressure and when they're at their lowest point of pressure, and those two terms are called systolic and diastolic pressure. So, again, it's kind of no different to the analogy of the pipes in your house. There's a point in which, you know, there's too much pressure or not enough, so the water comes out of the tap.
Yeah, right.
And that's kind of the same principles can be applied to the heart in our chest and animal's chest.
Yeah, right. Look, we're about 9 minutes off 10, and Dr. Ryan Lane is with us, who's from the Orange Vet Hospital. He himself, as you imagine, is a vet. And we're talking about, well, heart disease, heart issues, and, well, issues with the pipes, as you've been mentioning.
Pipes and the pump.
So, I mean, one part of it, and I guess this is where my brain first went, was blood pressure and diet. But you mentioned that some heart disease animals can be born with.
Correct. So there are different breeds that are more predisposed. If you can imagine that, you know, all of the cats and all of the dogs in the world originated from one type of dog and cat, and we've genetically modified them over, you know, hundreds if not thousands of years of breeding, and with that comes you know, cuteness or fluffy coats or whatever it may be, and there are some components to that genetic makeup that are sacrificed, and in some breeds like King Charles Cavaliers, their hearts are, you know, can be very problematic from day dot. So you've got to be cautious of that. Other species, like say French Bulldogs as well, I mean, they're not designed really to breathe. They look cute and they're hilarious to play with, but their anatomy makes them very predisposed to, you know, other I should say a plethora of different problems at times. But there is a genetic component to it as well in a lot of situations, and sometimes it's like us, you can be born with it and there's no reason. It's all to do with the processes when you're developing.
Yeah, okay. I mean, are you able to tell that these animals have heart conditions when they're brought in as pups or kittens?
Sometimes, yes. Sometimes it can be quite obvious. Sometimes, you know, these dogs can live for 6 months and it go completely unnoticed because the heart sounds can sound normal. And then there are anomalies that can occur later in life. So it's just important for vets to look and listen and communicate and build that relationship with your vet. It's very, very important because a lot of them, you know, do go undiagnosed for some time. I mean, in the human world, I had a good friend, Charlie and Jack from Yeragle up near Wellington. Charlie, I mean, he's a hardworking farmer and, you know, he nearly passed away, you know, a few months ago, had a horrific heart issue that they reckon he's had for 20 years.
But he had no idea.
No idea. Goodness and he was just very lucky that he, you know, saw the right person at the right time and he went and had a massive heart surgery and now Charlie's doing quite well. So it's the same in the human world, you know, like, I mean, I don't go to the doctor much and hopefully my heart's pretty good.
But it's the same with a vet. If you do your regular checkups, then hopefully you can catch those things, right?
It's very important. Very important. Okay. You know, apart from seeing animals for their annual vaccinations, the most important part, apart from the needle and the worming and all those things, is doing the clinical exam, listening to their heart, checking their lymph nodes. There's lots of things that we're doing while we're talking to a client that we're quite kind of autonomically doing without people even realising.
Yeah, grabbing the dog and feeling around.
Exactly.
Having a listen.
We're feeling their femoral pulses and listening to their heart and trying to identify normal and abnormal. And that's probably the most important part of those annual checkups as well.
Sure.
I think it really is.
In terms of heart health, I often see heart health being used to sell me a product when it comes to my dog and cat. You know, this particular food will give good heart health. Are there things that we can do every day to help with heart health for our animals?
Definitely. I think the hard part with the world today is that there's so much advertising and there's algorithms and your phone knows. And I think that people get led on paths quite quickly of, you know, supplements and foods and all these amazing, you know, we can't point out vets from, you know, Sydney that may have lots of brands of things, but some of those things work brilliantly, some of them don't.
Yes.
I think the important part is to get your information from your vet and let them direct you where to spend your money, because everything is expensive in this day and age. And I think it's a common thing where, you know, people have all these misconceptions stewed into them from the information that's put in front of them. And yeah, I don't know, I think a lot of them could be probably saved, and simplicity is probably the most appropriate way to approach it.
Okay. Is it as simple as exercise as well? Is it the same with
and
humans?
Wait. Okay. I think sometimes I think it's like Groundhog Day at work. You just have consult after consult where it's just weight, and weight's a huge factor, particularly in older animals, you know what I mean? I think it's important. While we're young, it's not as big of an issue, but I think as they get older, the weight's a huge factor. Cardiovascular health, diabetes, joint disease, all those common things in the human world are completely transferable to our world. So weight's probably the big thing. Weight management's probably the biggest fault that people make. And then I guess there's the whole raw diet versus, you know, kibble diets versus what the breeders told me to feed the animal. I hear that one very, very frequently where
is that right?
Breeders prescribe diets to puppies that are very inappropriate. So I think that it's
really,
they, you know, they talk about getting the information from the horse's mouth. Well, the vet, in my opinion, is the horse's mouth. And if vets don't know things or they don't understand, they'll find sources of information to allow that. You know, we don't just get on Google. We talk to people in those realms, and there's lots of specifics to it, I think. So I'd seek your information from your vet and then digress from there. And you'll probably save more money in the long run rather than trying all the herbal remedies and tablets and things away and then end up going to the vet. I think start at the vet and you save yourself money.
Yeah, right.
As weird as that is to say.
Dr. Lane, I appreciate your time as always. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Alex.
That's Ryan Lane there, who is a vet at Orange Vet Hospital, having a chat with us about heart health for your fluffy friends on ABC Central West.